1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more. Concerning brotherly love. One, its instruction. Two, its illustration. Three, its injunction. I am always moved on Remembrance Sunday. Often tears will fill my eyes, often. The memory of bravery in the face of tyranny to secure our liberty. We must never forget. We will remember them. The date was the 7th of July in 1916. And the place was the Mametz Woodland in northern France. And the occasion was the British and French engagement of the German Empire, as it was called then. It was known as the Battle of the Somme. The first day of that battle was the worst day in the history of the British Army. 54,470 men were wounded severely. 19,240 men were killed, and the advance was just 6 miles. Nothing. Going over the ridge towards the woods were two brothers, Second Lieutenant Leonard Drugaskis and his younger brother Arthur. In the midst of all those thousands and thousands of people, they knew where each other was placed. The older kept his eye on the younger, 50 meters between them. As they advanced, the younger was shot and fell to the ground. The older brother ran instinctively towards him. Just as he got to him, a sniper picked him off. Later, they were both found with arms around each other. The major wrote to the mother, saying that his comrades were proud of them, saying that they were the noblest and bravest of men. I wonder what his mother, their mother, thought. My beautiful, bright, brave, dead boys. Each soldier was given one of these. In the trenches, they would read it. It was John's gospel. They would come to the passage in John chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love has no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friend. They would come to John 15. This is my command, that you love one another. Imagine a world where that command was obeyed. Imagine a day to come, when that command will not only be obeyed, but enjoyed. You remember that the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Thessalonians, has already said, I'm praying that you Christians there in Thessalonica would love one another. Not only so, but that you would abound in love for one another. Last week, he spoke about purity and chastity. This week, he writes about charity and takes up the theme again concerning brotherly love. Number one, it's instruction. You have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. These new Christians there in Thessalonica, they've been taught, instructed, not just by the apostle and his band, but instructed by the word and by the spirit into their own consciences and souls. So much so that they were taught by God. I remind you, the summary of Christian duty, the whole summary of Christian ethics, is love God and love your neighbor. Is that right? We do well to remind ourselves. Here is the creator of the universe, God the Father. In the beautiful book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Then hear that same Father of creation speaking again in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 7. Verse 17, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Then remember the words of God the Son, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, our Lord Jesus Christ, says in Matthew 22, verse 37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second commandment is that you love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, the whole law and the prophets stand. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ taking a towel and basin, and the King of Kings and Lord of Lords washes the dirty, sweaty feet of his disciples. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Then follows it up in John chapter 15, verse 12. This is my command, that you love one another. And remember the work of the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When Paul writes to the Galatians, he says, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, self-control, faith. We're instructed by God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And listen to his apostle, the mouthpiece of divine revelation, the mouthpiece of the King of Love himself, when he writes to the Romans in chapter 12, verse 9, says, let love be genuine. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Listen to him writing in Romans 13, verses 9 and 10. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to its neighbor. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Many of you remember that great hymn, Every Time We Go to a Wedding, which is read from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which ends, now abides faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And then the next verse in chapter 14, verse 1, the apostle says, pursue love, chase after love, track it down, make it your own. When he wrote to the Galatians, he wrote the Magna Carta of Christian liberty. And this is what he wrote. You've been called unto liberty, only use not that liberty as an occasion for the flesh, but by love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in this one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You remember when Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, he said, walk worthy of your calling with which you have been called, in all humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Remember when Paul prayed for the Philippians in chapter 1, verse 9, he prayed, my prayer is that your love may abound more and more. Then he addressed two women who had fallen out with each other and said, Euodias and Syntyche, agree in the Lord. Love each other. Then when Paul wrote to the Colossians, he said to them, put on as God's chosen, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, and above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. When we reach the Thessalonians, he's already prayed that their love would abound. Now he says, you have been taught by God. When he wrote to young Timothy, he said, let no one despise your youth. You be an example of speech, of love. When he wrote his second epistle to Timothy, facing execution, he wrote to Timothy and said, you flee youthful lusts, pursue righteousness, faith, and love, and peace. When he wrote to Christians over whom Titus was the elder, he said, speak evil of no one, avoid quarreling, be gentle, show perfect courtesy toward all people. When the writer to the Hebrews wrote, he said, let brotherly love continue and don't neglect to show hospitality one to the other. And remember those who were in prison. when the Apostle Peter wrote, he said, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Listen to that. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart. In his second epistle, he said, you Christians, add to your faith. Don't stand still. Add to your faith virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. When the Apostle John, that aged Apostle John, you see him with white hair bent over, addressing in the catacombs those who name the name of Jesus. Beloved, love one another. Love one another. Love one another. Love one another. This is the old Apostle John, the last remaining apostle of Jesus Christ upon the planet. He writes, we know that we pass from death to life because we love the brethren. He says this, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God. For God is love. And when he wrote to the elect lady, John said, this is the commandment we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. Have you got the message? Not taught by a preacher. Taught to the conscience and lifestyle of every true believer in our Lord Jesus Christ. You have been taught by God to love one another. It's instruction. Two, it's illustration. There's no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another, for that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. Paul says, you Christians there in Thessalonica, you are a living illustration. You're a walking visual aid. You Christians don't just love each other there in the church of Thessalonica. Laodicea, Achaia, all the regions of Macedonia are hearing about this visual aid which you have become. This illustration, this example of yours is spreading all the way through the region amongst all of God's people, all of those who are naming the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's something infectious about it. There's something dynamic about it. There's something contagious about it. Of course, we know that's true. Jesus himself said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another. He didn't say, if you memorize Burkhoff for breakfast and Spurgeon for supper. He didn't say, if you know the Bible off by heart from cover to cover. He didn't say, if you are a Royal George teacher or preacher. He did not say, if you perform miracles. He did not say, if you're an apologist who can argue with anyone concerning the facts of the gospel. He didn't say, if you're a really good giver of money. He didn't even say, if you're a martyr for the cause. If you love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Let me be blunt and let me be vulnerable. I'm not the only person in this room who names the name of Jesus, who has been wounded deeply. And have the scars to prove by the fractious, divisive, ugly example. Letters received, unsigned. Text sent, unsigned. William Barclay wrote myriads of books. Lots of the Christians didn't like him. They thought he was too liberal, which he may well have been, who knows. But I'm asking you a question. His darling daughter died. He received an anonymous letter. Dear Dr. Barclay, because of your heresy, God has killed your daughter. Unsigned. What a difference it would make if we were visual aids and illustrations just like these Christians there in Thessalonica were. Taking the command to love God and to love your neighbor, to love your brother, seriously. You know that C.S. Lewis wrote a book called The Four Loves. In Greek, sterge, family type of love. Philadelphia, affectionate, brotherly, caring type of love. Eros, intimate, sexual love. And agape, God's unconditional love. Some of you have been, I've never been, but some of you have been to Philadelphia, I know. Then in Pennsylvania, it was founded, you remember, by William Penn, a Brit. You remember he wanted so desperately to follow as an early church father, if you like, there in the United States. He wanted so much for that to be a state where brotherly love would continue. He named a city Philadelphia. Philios. Brotherly love. Where people would love one another, where there'd be an illustration of that love. Sadly, his dream was not only not realized, but shattered. Be an illustration, a visual aid to all around us of how we love our neighbor, how we love one another. Number three, we have an injunction. Look what it says. For that indeed is what you're doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia, but we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more. Now, I know the word urge can mean exhortation. But none of us can doubt that this is more than just an exhortation. We've already gone through quite a number of specific commands. It's an injunction. Paul is urging the believers there who are great examples of loving one another. He's saying, listen, do this more and more. Do it more and more. Do it more and more. Show more and more love. Be more kind. Be more thoughtful. Be more tender. Be more willing to take the first move to forgiveness Be more willing to go the extra mile. To love when it's difficult and painful. To love when it's costly and sacrificial. To love the unlovely. To love the one who I don't agree with, neither their life or their lifestyle. Love your neighbor. And love the brothers and sisters who are walking the same narrow way with you. They may be tripping and stumbling and falling right now. Don't walk by on the other side. Get alongside them. Pick them up. Walk with them. Spend some time in their moccasins. Get your hanky out and cry with them. Put your arm around them. And do it more and more and more, no matter what anyone says about you. Do it more and more. Can I ask you? Again, on this Remembrance Sunday, what would happen to this church, to this community, to this city, to this nation, to the nations of the world, if the billions of Christians on this planet took this instruction, illustration, and injunction truly to their hearts and truly to their behavior. Would you put up your hand, please, if you came with us to Israel? There's quite a few hands gone up. So bear witness. Near the end of our trip to Israel, we stood at the Western Wall, the Wailing Wall. It was moving to pray there. Then we went down into the tunnels underneath Jerusalem, going right along underneath the city with our Hebrew guide. He stops at a place and says, Jewish men and women, come and worship here. Look at this stone, 14 meters in length, 570 tons in weight. We believe that just behind this stone was the Holy of Holies. Very moving. I remind you of a temple, both of Solomon, and particularly the temple of Herod, was that temple which the whole world stood and admired. And every Jewish man and woman would look towards, and particularly the Holy of Holies. There is a fable, and that's all it is. But it moved me. Two brothers. Let's call them Joshua and Jacob. One brother is married with a gang of kids. The other brother is single and lives alone. One night, the man with lots of kids wakes up. My brother is all on his own. I've got all these sheaves of grain. I'm going to take them to him. At the same time, the brother who is single wakes up. I've got a brother who's got a tribe of kids. He's really going to need the grain that I'm going to bring to him. The brothers met with their grain and hugged one another. And the fable says that was the place where the well of souls was to be, where the altar was to be placed in the Holy of Holies. Whether that's a fable, the point is clear. You and I don't need a temple. You and I don't need an altar. The Son of God himself has come. The King of love. He has come to display eternal love for his people. He has lived the life we could never live there upon the cross. Can anyone doubt that the cross screams to the world, God is love? Can anyone doubt that the man hanging upon the cross, who certainly doesn't deserve to go to heaven, amazingly, by grace, today you will be with me in paradise. One man, he says, I do not believe. One man is told, you will go to be with me in paradise. The love of God will be offered to both. One would reject so that we may never presume. One would receive that we might never despair of anybody. And he embraces us as brothers and sisters in Christ. So from the King of Love, hear his word concerning brotherly love. Love one another more and more. Let's stand and sing.